Today is lesson 9 in our series, Emotions for Better or Worse, and today's lesson is entitled, Accepted in the Beloved, from Ephesians 1:6. Today what we want to go over is to see how when we get our self-acceptance straight, who we are in Jesus Christ, how this allows us to diffuse much of the anxiety, anger, and guilt that you and I as Christians may be experiencing, and we don't know why. So I think it's going to be interesting. But let's back up now and see where we are. We said last week that many of us, as children, when we grow up, that the parents are to meet the needs physically. As those physical needs are met, then they move into the personality needs, which first of all we said was this assurance need to be safe, to be secure, a need for structure, a need for stability. When that child feels safe and secure, so to speak, he then feels free to branch out to loving relationships. It's like us as adults. Many times we kind of test the water, don't we, to see if it's safe, and then if it is, we'll do it. Well, it's the same way with our children. If they feel safe and secure, then they're free then to branch out to this next need of the personality. And that is the need to be loved as I am. Not if I am, but as I am. This need for unconditional acceptance. And we said that if that need's not met by the parents to be loved as I am, then the child sees that he must qualify for the parents' acceptance in some way. What does it take to get my parents' approval? Love. Well, we saw that we may, to qualify, have to be looking good with our appearance, or it may be by our achievements, how we're doing, or it may be from peers or from others, usually not our parents, our affluence, how much money we've got, what our status is, what our position is in life. And so if this need was unmet primarily in childhood to be loved as I am, but if I am, then we said what we do is we go through life in anything and everything and to everyone basically still trying to get this unmet need met by this appearance, by this achievements, by this status from all those around us. Have you noticed? And it's not just a want, it's as though it's a need. That's our whole motivation in life, basically. Even as Christians, we're not aware of, we may even be doing what we're doing not just to get acceptance from those around us or from our pastors or from, but even from God. You see, it's the motivation in life to become somebody, to become special, because this need was not met in childhood. And when it's not met, then we go through life then trying from everyone around us to have this need met to see, hey, I am somebody special. I do count. I am of worth. I am of value. And thus our whole motivation in life becomes, through our appearance, achievements, and affluence, to get this acceptance from man, still trying to get this unmet need met from those around us. And this becomes our motivation, as I say, in life, and even as a Christian, even to get God's acceptance. Doing to become, instead of doing because we already are. And we saw last week that when you and I come to know Jesus Christ, God says, hey, guess what? You got a whole new identity now. It's no longer what your parents thought about you, what your peers thought about you, what your teachers thought about you, what your preachers thought about you, what you think about you. He says, hey, you're to regard yourself no longer according to your old identity, 2 Corinthians 5:16 and 17, but now you're to regard yourself according to your new identity. And what is our new identity? God says, hey, you're accepted. You're accepted in the Beloved. Get this, a whole new identity. You're a whole new person, whole new creation with a whole new nature. You're a child of God now, not just a creature. You have a new father, your heavenly father, and you have a whole new family. He said, you've got a whole new identity now. Don't regard yourself as to what you thought of yourself and do. Think of yourself now as to what your heavenly father thinks of you, the value he gives you. This is to be what you think about yourself. And who does he say we are? He says, you're my child. You're the daughter of the king. Put on the royal robes. You're somebody special because you're somebody special to me. You see, ladies, man has value because of what? We were made in the image of God. Initially, man had value because of who he was to God. He was made in God's image. An image has value because of its object, right? If you and I have valuable portraits that are copies of famous ones, then my number that I have on my portrait has value because of the original, doesn't it? Well, we have value because of the original, so to speak. Our value comes in who we are to him. And we were made in his image. We had value because we were of value, what? To God. Man sinned, he was separated from God. But God loved man so much, immediately, Genesis 3:15, he says, I love you so much, I'm going to send my son to die for you so that you no longer have to be separated from me, but can be back in fellowship with me, back where you were intended to be, experiencing, you're my child, you're somebody special to me. You were made for this unconditional love. So we saw, ladies, that when a child is born then, the parents meet the physical, they meet the needs of the personality, and the need that we're talking about today is this need to be loved as I am, not if I am. And I repeat, we've said that if to the extent this need is not met in childhood is the extent to which you and I then go through life trying to get this unmet need for acceptance met by our appearance, by our achievements, by our affluence. Now, today what I want us to see, first of all, let me say this. When you and I become a Christian, I want us to get this straight. When the Holy Spirit comes into our spirit as a Christian, he has come in not to replace our personality, but to replace the sinful nature which is operating in our personality and employing our faculties. You see, we said when a child is born, the parent meets the physical. The personality has certain needs that must be met for it to be healthy. Then introduces the child to the Heavenly Father, the spiritual, who is supposed to meet all these needs, intended to meet the needs, and wants to meet the needs. But the parents are there in God's stead temporarily to meet these needs of the personality for it to be healthy. If these needs of the personality, assurance, acceptance, aim and purpose, authenticity, are not met, then we have what? An unhealthy personality. So when you and I come to know Jesus Christ and he comes into our spirit, you see, he doesn't come in to abolish our personality. He doesn't come in to replace our personality. He comes in to abolish and to replace the sinful nature that is controlling, permeating, living through our personality, which is the unique you that we are with our elements of mind, will, and emotions. So let's get that straight. The Holy Spirit comes into our spirit. He doesn't come in to replace the personality, but to replace the sinful nature which is operating in our personality, employing our faculties. You see, when Jesus Christ comes into our lives, ladies, he comes in to restore us as human personalities. What does he say? He wants to restore what? The soul. He comes in to restore us as human personalities so that we may be the vehicle through which Christ will express himself. So whenever God gets hold of a man, ladies, or a woman, as the case may be, instead of abolishing his personality, what? He makes it what he intended it to be. Now, this is where we get in today. What is the difference between pride and acceptance? Well, we may have gone over this last week. I don't remember. But I want us to get a grip on it if we didn't. And that is, pride is a problem of the spiritual. Remember we said God in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 made us body, soul, and spirit. We said that the spiritual has to do with the sin nature. The Holy Spirit comes into our life to replace that sin nature. Pride is a fruit of, a product of, the sin nature. My pride says, my sin nature says, in effect, I will be who I am apart from God. And man has since he fell. So pride is a spiritual problem. It's from the sin nature. All of us have it. Our sin nature always wants to be somebody apart from God. It wants credit for everything I do. It wants to boast. It wants to be big. It wants to be great. Rah, 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 rah. But apart from God. Okay? A few scriptures. Genesis 3:5. This was the fall of man. Satan's temptation to Adam and Eve was to what? To be like God. You compete with God for the top spot. I'm running my life. It's my will, not His. Be somebody apart from God. Psalm 51:5 says, "Surely I have been a sinner from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." Genesis 11:3, "Let's build a tower," man said, "that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves apart from God." Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death." Jeremiah 17:5-7 says, "The Lord says, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord." Matthew 4:1-11, that this is where Satan tempts Jesus to be somebody apart from God. He wants Jesus to bow down and worship him. Romans 1:25, "They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised." Isaiah 14:13-14, "You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." 1 John 2:16-17. "For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." Romans 12:16. "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited." Galatians 5:26. "Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other." And on and on and on. What I want us to see, ladies, is our sin nature wants to be somebody apart from God. It wants the admiration of man. It wants the approval and the praise of man. And God says, okay, this is pride. It's a product of the sin nature. Okay, now, what is this acceptance, this need for self-esteem, this need to be somebody special? Okay, now, remember we said in the area of the personality growing up, the personality has certain basic needs for it to be healthy, right? One of the needs is which to be loved as I am, not if I am. This need of a child to see, hey, I'm somebody special, I do count, I am of worth, I am of value. Now, where does a child get this? Primarily from their parents. A child gets this sense of, hey, I'm somebody special, I am of value, I am of worth, because why? They are somebody special, now get this, to their parents, not apart from their parents. And then when you and I come to know Jesus Christ, that's preparation for you and I come to know Jesus Christ. We're God's child. He's our Father. And then what does He want us to see? Hey, you're somebody special because you're somebody special what? To your Heavenly Father. Not apart from, but to your Heavenly Father. Now, this is a need, ladies, of the personality to be healthy that's intended to be met primarily by the parents in childhood. It's necessary for healthy personality functioning. Am I going by this sheet? I may be. Well, that's a miracle if that's the case. But we have this need, okay? So what do? The problem is, ladies, that we need to see as Christians is this. You're going to see that when this need for acceptance, to be loved as I am, is unmet, and we're going through life trying to get this need met, hey, somebody accept me, hey, somebody admire me, hey, somebody love me, hey, somebody give me approval, hey, somebody, do you see the same symptoms of an unmet need for acceptance of the personality and with the pride, sinful nature in operation? The symptoms, ladies, are the same. This is why we as Christians have problems. Because we've dealt with the sin nature, and yet we're still having this, not just a want, but a need for what? Acceptance. Somebody love me just for who I am. Somebody think I'm of value, I'm of worth. I have this need to be somebody special. So what does it tell us in the scripture that in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says there's the spirit, the soul, the body, remember? So as Christians, we want to deal first with the spirit. We deal with the sin nature. When you and I came to know Jesus Christ, good news. You got forgiveness for it. You've got cleansing. The power of the sin nature over you has been broken because of the power of identification with Jesus Christ on his death, burial, and resurrection. So he says, you know, hey, take care of that first. If you have a problem within this need for acceptance, approval, admiration, the praise of men, then you still have a problem, then what do we look at? The soul area. Because the symptoms are the same, but the root cause, ladies, can be different. One can be caused by the sin nature, and one can be caused by this unmet need, this unmet acceptance need for childhood. This is why it's so tricky for us as Christians. We have to know the inside in both areas and how to deal with both areas to get what? More and more of the wholeness that God wants us to experience. What? Body, soul, and spirit. They were all intended to work interrelated, to work together as one. There must be wholeness in each area. You see why it's tricky? One's from the spiritual problem, from the sin nature. The other's from the soul, from the unmet need, an unmet acceptance need, a need of the personality for it to be healthy. They must be dealt with. What a need, ladies, when God says you come to know Jesus Christ and he says you're my child and you're declared accepted as you are. What does this mean? Over and over. Let's see if I brought those list of scriptures. God says, I want you to see how special you are to me. For instance, well, agape love. I put that on your sheet. What is agape love? When God says, hey, you're the daughter of the king, you're my child, you love me because I first love you. Let's look at some of these scriptures on agape love. First, look at the definition for agape love on your sheet. This is God's kind of love, of which he is the source. Now look at this. It's a love that loves because of the preciousness of and esteem for the inherent value of the object loved. Ladies, he loves us with this kind of love. And God says, I want you to see yourself through my eyes as a person of value because of who you are in Jesus Christ. Look at some of these scriptures. Jeremiah 31:3. He says to you and I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Hey, that means it won't stop and there is no end. We can't get enough. He goes on and on. Isn't that exciting? That all, you know, we just keep experiencing more and more of God's love. I think Romans 9:25 says, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her, you and I will call you beloved, which was not beloved before you and I accepted Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 8:38-39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 John 4:7-19 in there. This is love. Let's listen, ladies, to what love is. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And get this. And so we know, and rely on the love God has for us. There is no fear in love. This fear here, ladies, is not a godly fear. It's a slavish fear. It's a fear of losing someone's love. It's a fear of losing God's love. There is no fear, a slavish fear of losing God's love in this agape love. A godly fear, ladies, is that fear of reverential awe. It's that fear of displeasing him because we don't want to grieve him. We don't want to quench his spirit from working in and through us. But he says perfect love drives out fear. If there's a bunch of anxiety in your life, it's because you haven't experienced this agape love, this love as you are, not the if you are, having to qualify for love. Because fear has to do with punishment. The man who fears is not made perfect in love. That means this man has not been made perfect in my unconditional love to see that he's loved as he is and doesn't have to do one thing for. It's a gift. It's called grace. It's called unmerited favor. We love him because he first loved us, and so on. Boy, what kind of love, ladies? We need to pray Romans 5:5. Lord, shed abroad in my heart every day your unconditional love for me. Okay, now you may say, and I may say, now wait a minute, Diane. Maybe you can love yourself as you are, but how can I love myself? I mean, you don't know my past. You don't know all I've done. You don't know all my past sins. Man, it's been something else. Or you may say, how can I love myself as I am? No one else has ever loved me just for who I am. I mean, nobody else thinks I have any value. How can God love me as I am? No one else has. Well, ladies, what we need to see is that when Jesus Christ died for us and we received him and he says, I declare you accepted in the Beloved, he wants us to see that his acceptance is the answer to both of these questions. You see, the first one is, you don't know my past, all I've done, all my past sins. That has to do with this area of the spiritual, doesn't it? That sin nature and all the sins that come from that. And there's not much, ladies, I haven't done in my life in thought or deed, right? And praise God, he says, Diane, I've forgiven you, you're cleansed. In my eyes, you're washed whiter than snow. Ooh, that means a lot to me. Some scriptures on that I think I've got down there. For instance, why can we love ourselves with our past, with all this sin that we've done? Because God has said to you and I through his Son at Calvary, thy sins are forgiven thee. Go and sin no more. Luke 7:47-50. And she who was forgiven much loves much. If God, the one who was offended by my sin, loves and forgives me, who am I to deny and refuse that love and the forgiveness that goes with it? The one who was made sin for us cried out, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Luke 23:34. You see, ladies, God wants us to see if you love yourself and others with this agape love, then you must forgive yourself and you must forgive others, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you and I in Ephesians 4:32. Therefore, if you love yourself, you must forgive yourself, ladies. If you love others, you must forgive them. Because agape love means you accept yourself and others as you are. And that means forgiving yourself and forgiving others. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, ladies, are you confessing sin nature, things that you've done in your life wrong over and over and over? God says the first time you confessed it, you were forgiven and you were cleansed. The next time you confess that same sin, I don't even know what you're talking about. You've wasted your breath. Psalm 103:10-14 says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. He says, they're as far as the east and the west. They're down in the bottom of the deep blue sea. And you know, Corrie ten Boom says, put up that no fish inside. Once you've confessed it, no fish in the land. You don't go back and get it. God doesn't even know what you're talking about. And many times, ladies, when we confess our sins, we forget it says, and he cleanses us. You've been cleansed. Act like you are. Accept it. So he says, my acceptance is the answer to the spiritual, to the sin nature. You may not can love yourself as you are because of your past, But also in this area, the personality, we have a need. And we say, hey, I may not can love myself because no one has ever loved me just for who I am. We've had to qualify for love all our lives. And we have to do something to be loved. And so we can't love ourselves because no one else has ever loved ourselves. As I say it again, this is this unmet need for acceptance in childhood. And God says, hey, my acceptance is the answer to that too. My acceptance not only is the answer to your sin nature, but my acceptance is the answer to your rejection. I declare you accepted as you are, loved as you are. I want to meet this unmet need. I want you to see you're somebody special because you're somebody special to me. Let's see. Where do we want to go now? Well, let me find my sheets. Okay, let's just look at the sheet and see what's next. Okay, I want us to look for the rest of our time, ladies, at this unmet need for acceptance in childhood. And I want you to remember that this need is unmet if the parents are perfectionistic, performance-oriented, unpleasable, negative thinkers. Now, it's not just the parents. It also involves rejection by peers, teachers, preachers, etc. But in this case, when this need is unmet, the child must qualify for love, if I am, by his appearance, achievements, or affluence, doing something to be loved. Now, notice on your sheet, this is the prayer I want each of us to pray. First of all, before we even get into this, we need to ask the Lord, according to John 8:32 and John 16:33, he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, and I will lead you to all truth. We need to ask the Lord, according to his will, his way and timing, to make us aware, get this, ladies, aware if there is a need in this area of our lives, and if so, then to show us our specific ways of qualifying for acceptance. Am I getting acceptance by my appearance, by my achievements, by my affluence? Also pray this, ladies, Lord, make us aware of our children's, our husbands', others' need in this area, and their ways of qualifying for acceptance. Lord, we need this awareness so we can consciously put off our thinking of who I am and put on your thinking of who I am. Thank you, Lord, that as your child, nothing can separate us from your everlasting love. Now, you notice the example I gave you there, ladies, is the example we went over last week. And that is, as the Lord shows us our areas where we have to qualify for acceptance, this is to be our thinking. This is how we're to renew the mind. The first thing we see is my thinking of who I am. That's my thinking of who I am. We say, I'm accepted in my appearance, my achievements, my affluence, whatever your deal is. Fill in the blank. Then we say, but Lord, I'm to regard myself no longer in that way. His thinking of who I am is what? I'm not accepted in my appearance, my achievements, my affluence. I'm already declared accepted in the Beloved, Ephesians 1:6. And I love Hebrews 13:5-6, ladies, because it says, because God has said what God has said, we may boldly say. So anything God says about us, how much he loves us, or anything else, he says, because I have said it, you may boldly say it, and you are to boldly say it to yourself, about yourself. Okay, let's look at this then. In this area in my life, after I'd prayed this prayer, Lord, make me aware of a need in this area. In my life, as I said, after I saw I had a need for assurance, a need to be safe, a need to be secure, remember the routine in my life about the little dab in the refrigerator, the clothes back to junior high, Bill were to lose his job, I have a serious accident, will I see again? This big need to feel safe and secure. God met my needs before, but he'll meet it again. Once I let God meet this need to be safe and secure in my life, I saw emerging in my life then this next need of the personality for acceptance. And you know how I noticed it? All of a sudden, I remember the first time I became aware of a person not speaking, a friend. And I felt real unwanted. Then I was not included in a get-together that I thought were friends. I became sensitive to Bill's remarks and children's, my children's remarks, anybody's remarks. When I hadn't been sensitive to them, before. In fact, before I may have even said, who cares? Who needs them? I don't. One thing about it, that doesn't bother me. People would say, well, one thing about Diane, I won't bother her. It's just like water off a duck's back. But you see, once I let God meet this assurance need, as it became more and more met, I then saw emerging this need, this next need. And all of a sudden, you see, ladies, when we see these needs emerging, this is not discouraging, it is encouraging. These are unmet needs, and God says, I want you to see them because I want to meet them. I want you to have a healthy personality. You may see it where I really saw it. One area was, I noticed when I went out, I don't mind going places alone, but when I went out and had to sit down alone somewhere at a meeting or something, or I never wanted to go out to eat and eat alone. Why? Others may think I'm a nobody and unwanted by anybody. So I saw emerging this need, you know, in my life. Okay, once I saw the need there, then I had to say, okay, Lord, I see I have a need, an unmet need for acceptance, loved as I am. Then what are my areas of qualification? What are the areas I'm using to try to get acceptance from people? Well, the Lord would show me, ladies, one area at a time. He would set up recurring circumstances of the same nature. And I would overreact each time. Well, you see, finally, I began to notice a pattern recurring. The same overreaction, time after time, to the same set of circumstances. God started off in my life using tennis. Oh, I didn't understand why I'd get asked so anxious before a tennis match. I mean, you would think it was life or death. That was the most crucial thing in the world. And I kept getting all this anxiety. And then if something happened to keep me from winning, I got angry. And if it was my fault I lost, then I got on my case. But my goal, I kept seeing, was I had to win. And I also was getting my acceptance through my kids in their tennis. And I wondered why, summer after summer, I couldn't stand to see tennis tournament time coming. My kids wanted me there. I didn't want to go. It made me too nervous. Why was I so nervous over watching a kid's tennis match? Summer after summer, match after match. It was the toughest thing I'd done. I didn't see then. It's like God let that go on summer after summer, match after match, my own and my kids, to show me, hey, Diane, you think you have to win to be a person of worth, to be of value. Why? From my background, my father was a tremendous athlete. Remember we said we learned to pick up that of our parents. He was an athlete. You won. That's your goal. It's not being the best. It's not being your best, it's being the best. It's number one. You don't play to be second, right? You play to be number one, uno. So the Lord showed me, hey, Diane, it's unconscious, but your thinking is you really must win, be the best in everything there is to be a person of worth. And you know, God wanted me to see that because He kept me going to those matches, tournament after tournament, year after year, and I didn't want to go, and my kids wanted me to go, so I would go, and I was a wreck. Now, what did I see from that? I saw a same overreaction, time after time, to the same set of circumstances. Notice it, ladies, because God uses these to show you your areas of qualification. Yours may not be the same as mine. All of our backgrounds are different. The values of our parents have been different. The values of our peers have been different. Whatever. But God will show you. We're all from different backgrounds. Then He began showing me. I started noticing, wait a minute, money. Whoever had the most money was of the most value. And I started noticing I would get triggered when friends got a bigger house or a bigger car or a bigger anything. And that would make me real uncomfortable. You know? Well, now I know part of this was the sin nature, and I dealt with that. But I overreacted to it. And what I went back and saw was, from childhood, where I grew up, at the school I went to, anybody that was anybody had money. And I was trying so much to be accepted, and I saw that to get this acceptance, the prerequisite, one of them was big-time money, big-time home, big-time car, big-time clothes, big-time clubs, big-time everything, okay? So I grew up thinking then to be a person of worth or of value, to be somebody special, you had to have what? Money. And what money can buy. So God then allowed all these circumstances around me to start triggering me. Now, I didn't wish to react to it. I overreacted. This is what you look for, ladies. The overreaction in circumstances to life. Well, I also saw it in other areas. Perfectionism. He kept letting me fail. Oh, and I would overreact. Why? Because it wasn't perfect. And I remember I was speaking at a big church in Memphis one day, and I came home, and I didn't get to finish the lesson, and I had to stop right in the middle. Now, when you're a perfectionist, that'll drive you nuts. I had to stop in the middle of that lecture, leave everybody hanging. I knew it wasn't completed, and I went home, and I went in the pits. My neighbor called, and she says, "How did it go, Diane?" "It was terrible." "It was terrible? Why was it terrible?" "Well, I didn't finish." "What difference does it make?" "Well, I just didn't finish." She said, "It wasn't perfect, huh?" I said, "Yeah, that's right. It wasn't perfect." And God used that to show me, to start noticing in my life, every time I did something and it wasn't perfect, I was really getting on my case big time. And why is that? Well, let me see if I brought it. Maybe I didn't. Remember we said at one time, back earlier, that perfectionistic traits are not derived from healthy motivating force, but from a fear of authority, a fear of parental rejection. The child panics or despairs at all mistakes. Why? Because he may get the parents' criticism, or he may get the parents' rejection. So what? The child says, tries to do everything perfect so they won't get disapproval, so that he'll get acceptance. And you know, a child will almost despair when he does something wrong because he's afraid of that disapproval or criticism or the rejection. And guess what, ladies? We've still got it. It's not just the kiddies. To varying degrees. So anyway, he showed me this air of perfection. If I didn't do anything right, it was like despair. "You're a failure, darling. You'll never amount to anything." And you know what we do when that happens? We say to ourselves in those situations what was said to us. Have you ever noticed? Okay. I noticed that in perfection. I would fail, 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 and he showed me, "Hey, Di, you're getting upset, Dawn, because it's not perfect. And you think you've got to do everything perfect to get acceptance." And on and on and on. So much for that. But anyway, God would show me an area, say the first one, of not having enough money, and I would act in that area. I'd say, "Thank you, Lord, that I am accepted no longer in how much money I've got. My acceptance is not in how much money I've got. I'm already declared accepted." And then, ladies, we admit our thinking once, put it aside, and then put on God's thinking about 10 to 12 times. That's important, that we put on the truth of God's Word, repeat it over in our minds habitually about 10 to 12 times to the one time of that wrong thinking that we put off. This is important for renewing the mind. But I would act on that. And then what happens? Then he'd show me the next step, the next area. I would act on that. I'm not accepted in. I'm already declared accepted. Then what? He'd show me the next area. Ladies, we don't get all of our areas of qualification at one time. We get them what? One step at a time. Act on that, we get the next one. And you know what? I'm still getting more than I really care to get. But, okay? Okay, let's see now. I want us to notice on your chart. I want us to go over this. I want us to see. Ladies, Satan is really having a heyday amongst Christians, rendering many of us really helpless because of lack of insight in this soul area. Now listen, remember what I said before? Any symptoms of emotional origin will recur until the cause is understood and dealt with, ladies. You may go to Florida for 3 weeks, and you may get temporarily better in this area of the emotions. But when you're not dealing with the correct root problem, it's going to continue to recur. And many Christians I find, at least in my own life, and the only ones, as I say, I speak to mostly are the leaders, the teachers, the Bible leaders in the community. The Christians that I talk to always usually say this thing, Diane, I'm doing all I know to do in my spiritual life. I'm reckoning this anxiety or anger or depression or whatever it is, dead and buried with Jesus on that cross and me alive unto Him. I'm binding Satan from the situation. I'm binding the spirit up. And yet, why am I still experiencing this anxiety, this anger, this guilt? I mean, I'm acting in obedience to what God says, but it's not from the inside out. I'm still having trouble with this person. I think some people may call it an irregular person. Still having anger toward this person. I'm doing what God says, but boy, I'm still boiling inside. I'm doing it by the will. And the problem I want us to see today, ladies, is we may have an unconscious, and it's unconscious, wrong thinking about how to be a person of value, of worth. As I've said earlier, we think we must qualify for acceptance by this appearance, by these achievements, by this affluence. Now listen, when there is a threat to meeting these qualifications that we must meet for acceptance, we're going to experience the emotions of anxiety, anger, and guilt. And I want us to see this today as we go over this. Kay Arthur says, and Christians are becoming so defeated and discouraged because of lack of victory in these areas, and they've dealt with the sin nature. But remember what I said? If it's of emotional origin, it's going to keep recurring until it's dealt with. And that's what I want to show you right now. But Kay Arthur, I think it was Kay Arthur. Anyway, she gave the five deadly D's. Satan loves a person not to have insight. Because first we experience disappointment. If Satan can get you, ladies, and I disappointed in the Christian life, then he'll move on to number two, discouragement. You lose heart. You lose courage. You'll never make it. You're tempted to say, there's no way. And then it moves into dejection. You're downcast. There's lowness of spirit. You're almost broken. It gives you a tiredness and emotional fatigue. Others can, you can't. Then it moves into the fourth D, despair. You just lose or abandon hope. Moves into the fifth, demoralization. It renders you unable to function, period. Okay, but now let's see what happens if that's our goal in the next column. If that's my goal, to always be looking good, to get your approval or your acceptance, what if I fail? What if I don't make it? What if I get caught in the rain? What if I have a run on my hose? Wonder if I forget my jewelry. What if I forget my bell? What if I've got on the wrong shoe? But I'm saying, what if I fail to look good like I want to look to get your acceptance? It's the basic fear of failure that you won't qualify in your area to get that acceptance. And do you know what you're going to experience on the front end? Anxiety. If I'm coming to speak to you today and my value or worth as a person is I'm trying to get your approval by how I'm looking, and before I get here, I may be real anxious. Diane, what are you going to wear? Is your hair going to turn out right? Is this the right color lipstick? Uh-oh, there's a run in the hose. Uh-oh, this jewelry doesn't go. I better get this. And you actually get all kind of anxiety inside, fear of failure. You might be looking as good as it might take for you to accept my appearance, to get your acceptance, to be a person of worth. Okay, now, if your value as a person is dependent upon your appearance and you're going someplace and you want to be looking good, you're going to have a bunch of anxiety beforehand. What if I fail? Wonder if they don't like it? Wonder if I don't look good? Wonder if I'm not looking perfect? And this fear of failure that you won't reach your goal causes all kind of anxiety in your life. Okay? Now, what if I came here this morning and I want to be looking good for you to get your acceptance and someone or something else causes me failure? But not me from reaching my goal. I go into my closet this morning to get the very dress that I really want to knock you out with, okay? And it's not there. Where is it? Who's got it? Cindy's got it. Cindy's at Auburn. And she's got my dress. Not only that, she's got my jewels that go with the dress. So immediately, if my goal is to be looking good for you and someone or something else blocks me from reaching that goal, which I used to qualify for, what am I going to experience? Anger. anger at them for being a threat, blocking me from reaching my goal. Okay, now, if mine, again, is my appearance, how I'm looking, wanting your acceptance, and I just can't get my act together, I cause the failure. I get my makeup all over my face every way but right. You know what I mean? I mean, I can't get anything. My lipstick smeared up half my face, the mascara is everywhere but in the right spot. I mean, you know, I'm not looking good, and it's just because of me. It's not perfect. I don't get it right. Then what am I going to experience? I'm going to experience guilt. It's false guilt. I'm going to blame me. Okay, now I want us to look at these and take some illustrations, ladies, because this is a really key to help you see, number one, where your qualifications are for acceptance are. Number two, for you to be able to see what's causing a lot of anxiety, anger, and false guilt in your life, and you don't know where it's coming from. And I want us to get a clear grip on this today. Okay, now you looking at the chart, and now let's look at some illustrations. For instance, how do we see this? Say Bill, my son, has an unmet need for acceptance, and he needs this acceptance, okay? Now, he would go to call a girl to ask her out, a girl he really wanted to go out with him, okay? I mean, he would feel so much anxiety, it was not even funny. Why? Why? Fear of failure. Wonder if she won't go. Wonder if she will. Oh, anxiety. That fear of failure. He needs that girl to say what? Yes, I will go with you to be a person of worth. So on the front end, fear of failure, he's going to feel anxiety. Wonder if the girl says no. I may not even be able to risk asking her out. Okay? Now, what if he calls the girl up, though, and he says, will you go out with me? And she says no. He's going to get angry at the girl because the girl blocked her from reaching his goal of acceptance by her. Now, if he causes the failure and does something that makes her not want to go out with him, then he's going to blame himself. That's fall guilt. Ladies, when this qualification for acceptance, whatever it takes, the goal, is threatened or blocked, I want us to see that beforehand we're going to have anxiety, fear of failure, fear that that won't be met. Then, if it's not met and someone or someone else causes us not to reach that goal, we're going to feel anger toward them. If we don't reach the goal and it's our fault, then we're going to feel false guilt, anger toward us. Guilt is anger toward us. And it may be true or false guilt. I know Cindy, you know, on the opposite end. She gets anxiety before the prom. Am I going to get asked or am I not? Because anybody that's anybody gets asked to the prom. That's my goal, right? Get asked. Is somebody going to ask me? Fear of failure. Anxiety. The guy that she wants to ask her doesn't ask her. Anger. Ta-da! He blocks the goal. Or would feel false guilt if she had done something to cause or to bring it about herself. Let's see what some might be. I don't know what your area is. Ask the Lord. For instance, say I'm going to Orlando last week, okay? And I want to really be looking good for Bill. All the dinners we have to go to, all the shindigs we have to go to. And if my value is equal to my appearance, then I'm going to have some anxiety. What am I going to wear? Is the wardrobe going to be right? Am I really going to be looking good? I mean, that's on the front end. Am I going to measure up to get their acceptance for my appearance? Now, if I say to Bill, darling, my wardrobe's not in too good a shape. I really need to be looking good in Orlando. Can I buy a new garment? And Bill says, no. Big N-O. Diane, you're saving me too much money. I mean, I always say, darling, you won't believe there's a sale here. I mean, it's half off. He said, Diane, I cannot afford your savings, darling. You are saving me. You're too good to me, you know. But so if Bill says no to that, then what am I going to feel toward Bill? Anger, because he blocks me. It's a threat to reaching that goal of be looking good, to be a person of value, to be of worth. As I say, even in tennis, this is where I really would see it good, was in tennis, on the tennis court. The Bill couldn't stand to play doubles with me. Because, see, my value as a person, my worth, was equal to winning. Okay, now how do we see this in effect? All right? If my value is equal to my achievements, my performance, and I have to win to get this acceptance of people or just to be a person of worth, then can you see what I'm going to be experiencing before a tennis match? You all play tennis or golf or anything? You ever experience any anxiety before the big match? Fear of failure. What if I don't win? Well, see, my thinking is if I don't win, I'm not a person of value. If I do win, I'm of value. Boy, that's up and down all the time anyway. Talk about fluctuating. But anyway, we would play mixed doubles. Before the match, I would feel all kind of anxiety. What if we don't win? Okay? Playing the match. I'm playing great, you see, okay? I'm really playing good. Bill's playing lousy. Boy, welling up inside me, big time anger at Bill. Can he do anything right? That's an easy shot. Anybody could make that shot. And I would get angrier and angrier and angrier. He was making me lose. And I mean, by the time of the match, if we lost, now what am I experiencing? Bill's blocking my goal of what? Winning. Which I think I have to be a person of worth. Anything that blocks that goal, someone or something else, not me, I'm going to get angry toward. Man, he could tell it. I was fuming and functioning. I wouldn't even speak. I would huff and I would puff and give those disapproving looks. And I mean, after the match was over, I would withdraw any love. I mean, he was going to pay, okay? So I became angry at whoever blocks me from reaching my goal, whatever it is, okay? Now, what if Bill's playing great in this match, okay? Bill's playing great. I'm playing lousy. I'm the one that's causing us to lose, and I cause us to lose. What am I going to feel then? Guilt. I'm the one that causes me to not reach my goal. It's my fault, not him, not anybody else, but it's me. And when it's my fault that I don't reach that goal, whatever it is, I'm going to feel guilt, anger toward myself, me. Diane, it's all your fault. You never do anything right. Anybody could hit that backhand. I mean, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Do you see how in these illustrations, ladies, and God wants us to see these areas of qualification because he wants us to be able to find out what's causing this fear of failure, which causes anxiety, or what's causing this anger when there's someone or something else that causes failure, or what's causing this guilt when you fail, when you don't reach the goal for some reason. Okay, so, you know, ask the Lord to show you. Lord, what are my areas for qualification? Now, ladies, many of us, and we may not even be aware of it, I wasn't. As I said, when this need has been unmet, we go through life trying to get this need met from anyone and everyone around us. And many of us, ladies, especially our husbands. Oh, this was a biggie with me. I wanted to please Bill Lewis so bad. To get his acceptance and to get his approval, I did anything, everything you could name that I could do. And if he said, that's a good girl, I felt of value. If he criticized or disapproved, I felt like a real zero. Okay? I mean, I would do everything. Notice this. Maybe you don't have this problem with your husband. But you see, in Bill and I's marriage, I was obedient to God's principles on the obedient wife. But you know what would happen is, and this is from this unmet need of childhood, when Bill didn't respond in like manner to what I had done, I really got angry at him. Now the flesh can do that too, so you deal with that, number one. But when there's an overreaction, ladies, it can be from this unmet need for acceptance from childhood, and that triggers you. You're going for his acceptance. You're using your performance to get it, and you fail. And when you do, you experience what? Anger. Okay, let's just take for instance. Say I want Bill's acceptance, and I'm going to cook an out-of-sight dinner tonight, okay? I want to please him big time. I want it to be perfect. Okay? On the front end, I may be experiencing anxiety. Wonder if he doesn't like it. Wonder if I've spent too much money. Fear of failure. Wonder if it doesn't work out. Okay, then Bill comes home and sits down at this scrumptious dinner that I have slaved over the entire day, waiting for his response. And he turns up his nose and says, "Ugh, give me a hot dog." Now, let me ask you. Out of anxiety, anger, and guilt, what would I be feeling toward Bill? I mean, if I'm doing whatever I'm doing for Bill, now listen, ladies, this is important. If I'm doing whatever I'm doing, my value worth is equal to my performance, how well I'm doing, I have to qualify for acceptance from my husband. If I'm doing this to qualify to get Bill's acceptance to be a person of worth, then I'm going to react in anger too when he blocks me from reaching that goal. He turns up his nose at my dinner and he blocks me from what? Reaching that goal of acceptance by Bill for my performance. Now, what if I'm fixing this dinner? And I mean, he comes home and I mess it up. I burn everything up. I mean, it is pitiful, okay? Now, what am I going to experience? The meal is a failure, but it's not Bill's fault. It's whose? Mine. I blow it. I burn it up. I'm the reason for failure in this area. So I'm going to be feeling what? Guilt. False guilt. Anger at myself. You never do anything right. Diane, can't you do anything right? Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Now, notice with your husbands, ladies, many times, and not just our husbands, it can be friends, it can be children. We may be doing what we're doing for them, unconsciously, to get them to do back the same thing to us, to meet this unmet need for acceptance in our lives. You see, our motivation and what we're doing for them is to get them to do back what we need. You see, we're doing to become somebody, not doing because we already are. It's the same basic principle of our motivation. Have you ever noticed you get a new dress or you get a new hairdo? Is he going to like it? Is he going to like it? Is he going to like it? And he thumbs down. You look terrible. Take it back. Ta-da. Anger. Notice this week, ladies. Notice in your life when you're experiencing anxiety, anger, and guilt. An area that triggered me would be, initially when I started speaking some years ago, how many show up? Well, see, when I grew up, everybody measured success by how many people were there. Right? People show up, you're somebody. People don't show up, you're zero. Well, I mean, this is all I heard, you know? So I grew up when I was speaking, if two people came, before I would go to speak, I'd feel what? Real anxiety. Fear of failure. Wonder if nobody shows. I mean, you know? And then I would get there, and maybe two would show up. Then what would I feel? You're a real nobody, Diane. Two people showed up. You're a real nothing. A lot of people showed up, I was a value. Nobody showed up, I was a zero. Okay? Maybe you need, like I said earlier, a person to speak to you. A person doesn't speak to you. And if we have this need, this unmet need for acceptance, that's rejection. And so when this friend doesn't speak to you, notice if you overreact. Do you become real angry at that person and you don't even know why? It's an overreaction. And it may be because that person, see, has blocked you what? From your goal of getting their acceptance, this unmet need for their acceptance. And it triggers all this rejection of similar circumstances from the past where there was rejection. And then you may say, not only angry at them, but you may feel guilty. You may get on angry at you. You're a nobody, Diane. Nobody likes you. I don't blame her for not speaking to you. I mean, you know, all this kind of jazz. Check it out this week, ladies. Check your circumstances this week. Maybe it's money that triggers you. Maybe y'all are having a big shindig, okay? And I know about it. Anxiety. Am I going to be invited or am I not? Wonder if you don't invite me. I'm going to get angry at you for not including me in there. If I do something to keep you from inviting me or including me, then I'm going to feel guilt. It's my fault. Not your fault. It's my fault. I can remember growing up, my value or worth as a person, as I say, one of my areas were money. And I can remember my father saying a man owed him some money. And to me, a sign of importance was if you drove a Cadillac. All right? Well, a man borrowed some money from my father, and he wasn't going to be able to pay. So the man says, if I can't pay, I'll just give you my new cat. Man, I got excited. I thought, whoo, I hope he doesn't pay. Because I want the Cadillac, because if I'm driving around a Cadillac, then I'm a person of worth, right? Wrong thinking about what it takes to be a person of value. Having to qualify by how much money you have. Okay, now, I started feeling anxiety as a child. Is he going to pay or is he not? Ooh. The man paid. I was so angry at the man, I couldn't stand it. That man had the nerve to pay off his bill, but it blocked me from getting that Cadillac, see? That would have made me feel of worth or of value, because that's where my thinking was. Okay, notice on your chart. Is that clear? Am I making that someone clear? This week when you're experiencing these emotions, anxiety, anger, and guilt, we'll see in a minute what I want you to do. Okay, now notice on your chart. If my areas of qualification to be of worth are, say, my appearance, I got to be looking good, or my achievements, how well I'm doing, my affluence, how much I have to qualify for acceptance in some way. What I want us to see now is, what if you do reach your goals? I mean, what if you reach all your goals in life? You're always looking good, you're always doing the best, you always got the most money, you're driving around in this, et cetera, et cetera. What if you do reach these goals? What if you do reach your areas of qualification to be a person of worth? Notice what it says. There's going to be temporary satisfaction because your value fluctuates up and down because it's dependent upon what others think. But as long as you and I think I'm accepted if I am, I keep right on qualifying, always having to look better, always having to do more, always having to get more. Ladies, our whole lives are lived in a vicious cycle to get this unmet need met. It's never getting the need met. Why? Because it's all conditional. And our need is for unconditional love. And what happens, ladies? There are people, movie stars, for example, who may reach all their goals to be looking good, doing the best, and reach all their goals in life. But what happens there? Eventually, there's temporary satisfaction, but eventually there's what? Dissatisfaction. That's not enough. You got to be doing something else. And then you got to always be doing at least as good or better, don't you? It's just a vicious treadmill of always trying to prove ourselves. And finally, whether it's movie stars or anybody else, have you noticed eventually there sets in this emptiness and this despair? It's like, hey, I thought it was here, and I've reached it, but I've got here, and it's not. Why don't I feel like a person of value? Why don't I feel of worth? Why? Because what you've done has all been conditional. If you're loved, not as you are loved. And the person feels this despair. And a person, when he reaches all these goals in life that he thinks it takes to be somebody special, he may escape with alcohol, drugs, whatever, may go into depression, and then into suicide. Ever noticed the stars, or even friends, or peers, or anybody else who may commit suicide because maybe they've reached their goals and it's not there? This need for acceptance, to be loved as you are, to be somebody special, it's not there. Why? Because it's conditional. You got to keep on doing it. It's an endless treadmill. And you know, I see this with young people too. A young person I was aware of in Memphis. All of his goals were met. He was the best-looking kid in the school. He was the top athlete in the school. He lived in the biggest house in the most prestigious neighborhood, and the kid blew his brains out. Why? He had done it all and still hadn't experienced this need for unconditional love by his parents. Kid had everything but what? Being loved as he was. Not having to qualify for anything. He couldn't take it any longer. Okay. Now, many of us may not be in that area, ladies, but we may be in the next one. What if I don't reach these goals to be looking good, doing good, or having money? Well, what do? We keep trying, man. We keep failing. And what happens is, We keep experiencing the anxiety from fear of failure. We keep experiencing anger because somebody or someone is blocking us from reaching our goal. We keep experiencing guilt if it's our fault we don't measure up in these areas. And then what happens? Despair. Real despair. And ladies, if these emotions of anxiety, anger, and guilt are undealt with, what happens? It ends in depression. The person gives up trying to become accepted. He can't reach any of the goals. He gives up trying to become accepted. You know what this person does? This person just tries to protect what little sense of worth they've got. They pull in. They don't want to risk anything. They want to avoid further rejection. They can't take any more of it. So I'm just going to keep what little sense of worth I've got. I'm not going to try to get it anymore by my appearance, my achievements, or status. I'm just going to be status quo, protect what little I've got. Not risk losing what little I've got. And ladies, when these goals aren't met with this wrong thinking about what it takes to be a person of worth, and we continue to experience this failure, when we continue to experience all this anxiety, this anger, and this guilt, and when that's undealt with, what does it go into? Depression. And eventually, ladies, if these emotions are not dealt with, which we've gone over before, we develop a neurosis. Neurosis, which is a functional incapacity to some degree that's caused by anxiety. When you and I experience neurosis, when we haven't dealt with these emotions and we're not dealing with them honestly, or that we've got them and we don't know how to deal with them, then it shows up in our body, our body parts. We may have trouble with the way they function. There's a dysfunction in the body parts. You may have trouble even in what you do. You can't cope or do things that you used to do. Your relationship with others may be impaired. But when you and I develop a neurosis, ladies, and that's from not dealing with this anxiety, and to handle all this anxiety and anger and guilt, true or false, that's undealt with, the body, to cope, displaces it, as we've said before, to a body part, which may not work, to the mind may disassociate, there may be obsessive thoughts, there may be compulsive actions, there may be phobias with irrational fears, fear of heights, fear of dogs, fear of elevators, fear of, you know, whatever there may be. And then what may happen, ladies, I don't know if this is on the sheet. You may have a nervous breakdown, but when there's no sense of worth at all, a person may go into psychosis. This is where there's just a complete loss of contact with reality at all. I can't take it anymore. I can't take the world and the rejection that's there. So you retreat into the most safe place there is, and that's what? Unreality. And then there may be suicide. Well, ladies, we need to see that in both of these, if our goals are met to be a person of worth, or if they're not, what is it? The results are the same. There's despair. There's depression. There possibly even be suicide. Why is there trouble in both of these areas, whether we do or whether we don't? Because, ladies, our need is to be loved as we are, and in these two areas, we're still having to do something to qualify for acceptance. Okay, what does God say do about it? Look at the last column. Okay, so what? I want to show you how to use the chart. When you experience this anxiety or this anger or this guilt, check and see what are you feeling. Be aware of your emotions. Be honest with them. Admit them. Hey, I'm anxious. Hey, I'm angry. Hey, I'm experiencing guilt, true or false guilt. True guilt is when you broke God's standards. False guilt is when you haven't measured up to man's standards. You haven't broken God's standards at all. You just haven't done what man said. So first thing is check what you're feeling. That's this third column here, anxiety, anger, and guilt. Check this. What are you feeling? Okay, then when you see what you're feeling, back up and say, now wait a minute, what's happening when I'm feeling this? When you feel these emotions, check your circumstances. What's going on? What's your behavior? Yours. Have you failed to do something? Are you down on yourself because you failed? Check others' behavior. Have they blocked you from reaching some goal in some way? Okay, first see what you're feeling. Admit your emotions. Then see what's happening, what's going on when you're experiencing these emotions. In other words, what's your behavior? Then back up again and say, okay, now wait a minute, what am I thinking to behaving like this and experiencing these emotions? Because feelings follow what? Thinking. Back up and say, now wait a minute, is this a threat to my worth as a person? Could there be wrong thinking here about what it takes to be accepted? Am I responding with anxiety, anger, and guilt because I still feel and think that my value as a person is in my appearance, in my achievements, or in my affluence? Back up, ladies, and God will show you what your wrong thinking is from using these three emotions. Now, most of us as Christians probably are in this third column, where we're experiencing anxiety, we're experiencing anger, we're experiencing guilt, we're doing all we know to do spiritually, but we're not getting victory in the area, and we don't know why we've got it. What we need to see is, after we've dealt with the sin nature and still have a problem here, we need to back up, and we'll see most of the time that we've got wrong thinking, having to qualify for acceptance in some way by this appearance, by our achievements, or by our affluence. When you find out what your thinking is, ladies, notice on your chart, by will, consciously put off your thinking of who I am, put on God's thinking of who you are, and as we do over and over, as God allows circumstances in our lives, the mind is renewed progressively by what? Practice. Ladies, if we don't stop this at the anxiety, anger, and guilt stage, and we can, we want to, because otherwise it's going to go into deeper problems, into the neurosis, into the psychosis, into other problems. We can stop it here if we will do this. When you have a problem in any of these areas, I have friends, and I say, hey, Lou, I've got a problem in this area with anxiety or anger and guilt. I have a thinking that for acceptance, I have to be looking good or doing this or doing that. Would you pray for me? Would you help me? Would you pray with me on it? When you see this in my life, would you point it out to me? I need your support. This is what we've got to do, lady. Be honest with them. Get somebody, tell them your problem. Get them to pray with you on it. Get them to support you to keep from going into deeper problems. But ladies, we got to be patient. The Lord gives insight one step at a time. He says you act on what you know, then what? You get the next step. And every time we do, ladies, what happens? We get more and more and more of the freedom that Jesus Christ says we will have in Him. Let's see. Is that helpful? Okay, let's see. Remember this week then to ask the Lord, make me aware, Lord, do I have a need in this area of the personality, an unmet need, I'm having to qualify for acceptance in some way. Make me aware of the areas I'm using to qualify, our appearance, our achievements, our performance. And then, ladies, please put on the right thinking, which the illustration is on your seat, and that is what? My thinking is I'm accepted in my appearance, my achievements, or my affluence. God's thinking, I'm not accepted in my appearance, achievement, or affluence. I'm already declared accepted in the Beloved. This is what I say to myself. I just use certain phrases. And ladies, the key to renewing the mind is to use short phrases and to use God's thinking in short phrases and repeatedly over and over and over. Every time I'm aware of an area, say of money, I say, my thinking is I'm accepted in money. I'm of value if I've got money, okay? That's wrong. That's no longer true. I'm not accepted in how much money I got, my affluence. I'm already declared accepted. Now, here's what I say. I don't have to get acceptance. I've already got it. I don't have to do anything for acceptance. It's already done. I don't have to become somebody special. I'm already declared to be. I'm accepted in the Beloved. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank You for this time. Lord, how we thank You that Your Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, that He will lead us into the areas of truth that we need to know about individually from our own backgrounds to free us in this soul area. Lord, thank You that You are the answer to our sin nature, to the spiritual problem. Thank You that You're also the answer to these unmet needs of the personality of the soul. Lord, You're the author and the perfecter of our faith. Help us to be patient with ourselves as You are with us, as You lead us insight by insight into each of these areas, knowing specifically where our problems are, and that you are the answer. Lord, I pray for each woman here today that in a new way this week, that you will shed abroad in each of our hearts that we are loved as we are, not if we are. Thank you, God, for your unconditional agape love. Make it so real to us daily. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next week.